The prayer to take us into sermon this morning is written by Carolyn George, but I have changed her I to our, so it's inclusive. Shall we pray? O God, make the door of our home wide enough to receive all who need human love and friendship, narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children, nor to strained feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back all evil. God, make the door of our homes the gateway to thine eternal kingdom. Amen. Jesus' dialogue opens with a great statement. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. But what then do we understand about this love? Does the love depend on whether life is grey and dull, or a different colour, brighter and with a different emotion? Must we set the bar of expectations high because we strive to love with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole soul? For living as we do in the pace and struggles of our contemporary culture, religion, and politics, all contributing to being fatigue, numbness, and having that constant drone of music, the daily conflicts and suffering, even though we know our love can be narrow, selfish, and seeks self-satisfaction, even though we know we can be reluctant to obey rules because we get impatient, and even though we have the capacity to freeze love, then why are we so astonished that caring and nurturing others in ways that spiritually safeguard us against the material existence is such a challenge? How easily we can forget a few years ago of sitting quietly, and we can listen and hear the bird songs, the rustle of the leaves, and just be in the quiet. But then we would be shocked into realizing how much we were missing the hugs and the love of those around us. And yet now, in such a short space of time, we brush past people in the shop, at the bus stop, at the train station. We'll turn away and cross the road. We'll see and judge ones to avoid. And although we are aware, we can become out of alignment with God because we do on one hand want to do good, but on the other we can be drawn to debase ourselves. No wonder the world is often untrusting and casting insecurities that we lose our sense of purpose. We simply just relive history. But exploring what Peter did, we can notice that beneath the story, there is less construction work, less building going on, and much more about mission that bears the power to transform and redeem. Peter went with some of his Jewish friends to the house of Cornelius, also a friend. Cornelius was a Gentile centurion or a captain. He was stationed in Caesarea, north of Joppa, both on the ports, very important in ancient Israel. Are they in Canaan? Are they in Palestine? They're still fighting over who owns what part of land. The boundaries are all blurred. We repeat history. But back to Cornelius. He had already been attracted to God, and this had enabled him to understand the meaning of how to be reverent, just, and generous, and he was accepted to worship in the synagogue. And yet, he was still regarded an outsider. while Peter's Jewish friends held life through God's promise with the patriarch Abraham that we read way, way back in ancient Israel of Genesis 17, in which every male shall be circumcised, and this be undertaken through all his descendants. Circumcision marked the Jewish obligation to God himself, and it was linked to baptism. So if we continue with his dialogue with Abraham, any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh has broken my covenant. So people decided to symbolize this act as a means to discard heathen ways. That's how they interpreted it. So when we get to the baptism of Cornelius and the others, it was seen by Peter's Jewish friends as though Peter had lost the plot. Come on, they're unclean, they're heathen. They were unable to comprehend how this honour could be bestowed on outsiders, let alone thinking of themselves on equal terms. What next? Will we have to accept these Gentiles on the social platform? Well, yes. But when Peter challenged anyone present to deny them the water baptism, that ordinary intonation into Christian fellowship, no one objected. So he commands them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This was a very profound moment for the Gentiles, for it deepened their union with Christ as universal Lord and would from that place help them to put aside old ways and learn what it is to live with Christ's Spirit. And it was also a profound moment for the Jewish believers that they would have that expectation to set aside their own convictions to their faith, put aside their differences, to be friends in the diverse world with complete openness that gave them authentic witness. If you and I are to trust God and accomplish his works, then we too will need to pay attention to our experience and stay attached to Christ. How we accept Christ's Spirit is the one that will help clean us from all the shipwrecks of life. Because it is the Father's love that breaks down barriers. It is his love that is mutual in all social ethics, and his love that asks for no reward. We are being shown the difference between human love and that of the faithful witness through the Spirit. The power of healing, the passion for the vulnerable, the devotion in telling the whole story, and the keenness to lift words off the page. For we are called to be like Jesus, not to be Jesus. We are called to be like Jesus in the one who inspires others to depend on Christ's nature, in which both moral and ethical attributes are to be central and intimate to the core of our being. It is the Christ Spirit is the means to bring us, the people, to the Father. And it is the Christ Spirit is the one who gives us what the Father wills. What it is to be fully alive that displays Christ's hallmarks of being a disciple and his blueprint for discipling. So if we are to accomplish this life, then exploring how to retell God's story that bears the power to transform and brings that immeasurable worth to all who witness is what Peter did. He illustrated both the structure and content of the Father's love had not changed. God has no favorites, there's no teacher's pet. No one is beyond breaking away from misshaped lives. Everyone can be drawn into being in God's family. And what's striking about the witness was to breathe the life of the Spirit into the Gentiles, and the Jewish watched it. But what has changed is humanity, our ability on self-interpretation, and what it means to remain faithful. For we find ourselves in a church which is socially ethic, and it should be reaching out with strategic terms in the societies we live in. But to be like Jesus in 2024, we do have to consider the different circumstances and social contexts that bring with them the vast range of needs and strategies than ever before. How much today we need to understand we are on a journey with the Spirit, learning how to love in a non-violent manner, not to be controlling, constantly searching for the potential to transform our own self and therefore others. Search out, where are we out of alignment with the Father's love? Let us go back and just a few years and press the pause button, because we can be too busy. And yes, yesterday was wonderful and we were busy doing lots of things and it was great and it brought a lot of joy to people. But we do also need to pause so we can have that time to be absorbed with the Spirit that will raise our conscious level and we can find the inner strength to endure all things, hope all things. We can dream and we can bear all things. For that was how Jesus prepared Peter for building his church the other side of the death of his death and resurrection, was not in getting out the bricks and the stones and the roofers, but to be with the people, to attend to faith, love and obedience by being true to himself. The bookends of love. The Father's love that I have received, I give to you. And then love each other, the Alpha and Omega of God, that conveys the love that transpires the nuts and bolts of our lives. So fully alive in Christ, that with Christ we can delight in sharing not only the good news that's written, but in all our acts of grace, to bring God into our conversations, in the hospitality, the inspiration, the risk-taking, to be involved and the participation, and yes, and in our expectations. We are not to leave our promise at the font or at the altar, but to carry it every day. So what would it take for us to make a difference? What would I leave behind as Peter did? He left his fishing boat, his fishing nets, his family, his friends. What would we leave behind to go fishing for people? Because there are hundreds and hundreds of people out there in God's waiting room. They're reading magazines, they're watching adverts, they're Googling, they're desperate to find something, someone that will bring them a better future. So rather than brush past, let us give them a smile and a hello. For it's not rocket science. The key that opens the door is our Father's love. He is the one who can aspire to, in his large and awesome personality, there's no fake news or altered ego. There's no hiding behind misrepresentation. Just simply a being full of grace and love. That's what and who we have at our disposal that will help prevent us going back and repeating history. If only we have a heart to sit still and listen. If only we have a heart to value friendship in the shared laughter, the talking together, the friendly acts of service with one another, and yes, when we have the occasional tiff, we part on good terms. Think what we would achieve when we have no expectation we must be effortlessly doing, when we come to be nourished by the Spirit that restores our strength, that when we are here, rested and refreshed, we can go and emerge with our ideas. We can expand our mission that brings people to faith. Think what we could achieve with our Father's love in our hearts. Amen.